The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. If you've been listening along all this time, you know that I've been gone for quite some time. I went on vacation, and we had some pre-recorded shows, which we played. And then for 2 weeks in a row, Raymond Johnson, my amazing, outstanding associate producer, filled in for me with some great guests because I've been sick and I'm still sick, but the show must go on. I'm on my way to recovering and I can actually sit up and speak. And so here I am with all of you. We are actually live today. But remember, you can give us a call to give us your questions and comments anytime you want, 24 hours a day at our voicemail, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. And, you know, we're midway through August, but I want to remind people that August is Anal Pleasure Month, and the Pleasure Chest is celebrating with all kinds of things. So you've got to kind of visit their website, pleasurechest.com, and they're doing all these different flash sales and specials that obviously involve anal products. So you want to check that out. And actually, it turns out I'm doing a little mini tour of the Pleasure Chest. This just coincided with my travel schedule. So I'm going to teach anal sex for everyone at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood this coming Wednesday, August 24th. Then I teach Open Relationships 101 at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago, and that's on September 1st, right before Labor Day weekend. And I will head farther east and teach my fantasy role play class at the Pleasure Chest in New York City on the Upper East Side, September 26th. All those workshops are free, open to everyone, and they start at 8 p.m., and in general, I have a very busy month of September, so you can always check out my schedule about where I'm going to be on puckerup.com. Click on tour. That's not safe for work. I'm really excited about today's show because it's kind of a steamy one. We are going to feature readings from Best Women's Erotica of the Year as I welcome the editor of that anthology and several of its contributors. And so I want to get right to it by telling you about the editor, who is Rachel Kramer Bussell, a feminist, bisexual author, editor, blogger, and event organizer. She has edited over 60 erotica anthologies on a range of subjects, from spanking to orgasms to oral sex, including Fast Girls, The Big Book of Orgasms, Baby Got Back, that's the anal one, guys, Cross-Dressing, Spanked, Tasting Her, Tasting Him, Dirty Dates, Come Again, Sex Toy Erotica. She's the series editor of Best Women's Erotica of the Year, And the first volume is now out in print, ebook, and audiobook. Rachel teaches erotica writing workshops across the country at sex toy stores, bookstores, sexuality conferences, and universities, and online at litreactor.com. Rachel writes widely about sex, dating, books, pop culture, and lots of other things, including personal essays. And her work has appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Elle.com, Marie Claire, O, the Oprah Magazine, Salon, and lots of other places. She's been on the show once before, but it's been a while. So welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and all of these authors. I'm really excited to hear them.
Yes. So if you want a tease, folks, of who's coming up to read their stories or little pieces of their stories, in the next few segments, we're going to have Rose Caraway, Amy Butcher, Lazuli Jones, and Tara Betts. All of those folks are here and they're going to read their work and you're going to get a taste of this book. So, Rachel, I saw on social media that you are setting a pretty high goal for yourself. You said you wanted to get 500 submissions for this volume.
It's a little crazy of a goal because that's a lot more than I've ever gotten. But yes, right. I do want people to submit their stories. And as an editor, I'm asking to make more work for myself because 500 stories is a lot to read, but I really want to have just new voices and lots to choose from. And I want to give readers, especially ones who've read, you know, volume one and then volume two is coming out in December. Like, I want people who've read those to then have something totally new to look forward to.
Wow, that is making a lot of work for yourself as someone who's edited anthologies. Like, reading 500 pieces is no joke.
Yeah.
It's a little masochistic, but
it's a little, but I figured I'd say it and then just encourage people. I feel like sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, I wish I could write erotica, but blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't think there's anything stopping you if that's something you're interested in.
And I imagine,
I want to encourage people,
because you've been doing more and more of this erotic writing, teaching people about it. So I imagine you also get students submitting, yes?
I do. You know, I don't give anyone special treatment if they were my student. I really, it's such a case-by-case thing with my anthologies. Like, some I'll get a lot of submissions and some I won't get as many. And some I'll get a ton about one sort of scenario or topic, and other topics that I thought people would submit about, I don't. So it's always a new experience, even though I've done it a bunch of times.
And so, speaking of that, I also had this experience where people, sometimes the reason someone didn't get into my anthology is because they wrote a story with a particular scenario and dynamic, and I had like five of those that were really strong. And I was like, I can't put five stories that are about like fucking your yoga teacher, for example. I'm just going to use that example because that's a real one. So what would you say, people, is there anything that you want to say, if you're going to write this, fill in the blank, it better be fucking good because I get too many of those?
I mean, it's hard. I feel bad saying too many, but too many for an anthology of like 20 stories. I would say, you know, stories about submissive women with dominant men, I definitely want to include those, but that's something that is overrepresented in the submissions I get. So I would say for that, I really want a super creative scenario, motivation, setting, or at least one of those. And I also want to encourage pairings that are kinky that are not necessarily that scenario. I don't get as many dominant women stories about dominant women as I would like to. But really, I think whatever kind of story you're writing, like, try to think outside the box. But don't do so just because I said that. Like, if you're writing a story that doesn't necessarily seem, you know, particularly outrageous, don't like scrap it and send me something that's set on Mars just because I said, oh, I want something kind of out there. I think you really still want to be true to what speaks to you, like what you're interested in, and just make it unique and make it stand out. I mean, at the end of the day, I think people are writing original things, but they're still, you know, you're not going to necessarily invent a whole new language. I mean, maybe you are, but, you know, it's okay if I've already published a story about like ice play somewhere else and your story has ice play. That's cool. Just make it, you know, unique to your own point of view.
Right, right. No, that's perfect. That's perfect advice for people. They just have to think about this stuff.
And really, okay. I would say, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I say one quick thing? Just mine, like, your interests. For instance, I played chess a lot when I was growing up. And so I've written a chess erotica story. That's probably something not that many people are going to write because not that many people, you know chess that well. So if you know something, some world or scene really well, see what you can do with that.
And what do you think, I mean, in this book, for example, what do you think is the most or one of the most creative scenarios?
You know, I'm definitely biased, but one of the stories we're going to hear today, Starstruck, which is set at Comic-Con, I really loved it. That's partly because I've never been to Comic-Con. I really don't know that much except, you know, kind of the very basics of Comic-Con. So to me, I love that it was set in this really specific world and it was very funny. But like, I felt like, and maybe Lucille will tell us, I don't know if she has been to Comic-Con, but I felt like she had to at least have done some research about it. You know, that was a specific, that was, I think the setting really spoke to me and helped make the dynamic between the characters really hot.
And I know that you're looking for diversity. I'm wondering how many submissions you get by and about trans women.
Not very many. And that's something I put in last year's call and I didn't get, I think I might have gotten some, I can't remember exactly, but it was not that many. And I definitely would like to feature stories from the point of view of trans women because that's something I haven't done in this series yet. And it's something that I don't see in a lot of submissions. And again, like with that, something like that, when I say that, that doesn't mean have to mean the whole action is about the person being trans. That can just be a fact woven into the story. And then you tell whatever other element, maybe they're at Comic-Con or, I mean, not, don't necessarily, you know, I don't want another Comic-Con specific story, but you know what I mean? Like maybe they're in some creative setting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've yapped so much that we actually are going to go to commercial. This is what happens when Rachel and I get together because we're not just colleagues, we're also friends and we've known each other for a very long time. Quickly, the backstory on Rachel and I. When did we meet? What year did we meet, Rachel?
I want to say, would it be 2000? Is that too late?
I was going to say 99. So we're on.
Yeah, maybe 99.
Yeah, probably, so maybe 99.
You know, I wrote my Monica story in 99. So maybe around then, 99.
Yeah, okay. 99 then, probably. Yeah, and I published one of Rachel's first erotica stories, which is about Monica.
The very first.
Okay, I didn't know that. The very first, which is about Monica Lewinsky, an incredible story, which FYI still stands the test of time now that she's back in the public eye. And so we've known each other for like 16 or 17 years.
It's a long time, yeah.
Wow, that is a really long time.
I was in law school, I think, when we met.
And of course, I was supposed to go to law school. You went to law school and dropped out. So we have that in common.
Yes.
And I heard you're going to do a book about people who didn't go to law school.
I haven't, not a book. Well, I don't know. I
think this would be a really funny book of people
book
who didn't go to law school.
There's so many people who either dropped out or were lawyers and now do something totally different and fascinating. And that's that I'm really interested in because there's just like, I meet them all the time.
Yeah, no, I do too. Like I meet chefs and I'm like, oh, so have you always wanted to do food? And they're like, oh no, I went to law school and I worked at a corporate law firm. And then I abandoned it to make crepes or something. Okay.
I would love to talk to that chef.
Yes. Okay. So we are going to take a break. Coming up after the break, we are going to hear stories from Best Women's Erotica of the Year, from Rose Caraway and Amy Butcher. So don't go anywhere. More after the break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out PleasureChest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. So before the break, Rachel Kramer Bussell told you about this series that she's the editor of, Best Women's Erotica of the Year. And now you're going to actually get a taste of Volume 1 with some of the contributors. Our first writer and reader is Rose Caraway, who is a native North California writer, editor, narrator, and podcaster on the hit shows The Kiss Me Quicks Erotica Podcast and The Sexy Librarian Blogcast. Rose is also a professional narrator for several Audible number one best-selling erotica audiobooks and is the editor of the Indie Fab Book of the Year award finalist and number one best-selling The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica. Although her specialty is erotic fiction, she also has a passion for writing suspense, horror, fantasy, and romance. And I don't want to put too much pressure on you, Rose, but you are a professional reader of erotica so that people can hear you in their ear holes, like all over the internet, because you've done so many books and like your books are always award-winning and highly downloaded. So welcome, Rose.
Thank you. This is where I get nervous. Thank you
I'm
so much.
Sorry, I set the bar high, but you are a professional. So
I am.
So tell us the name of your story in this book, and then you can just jump right in.
Okay, sounds good. The name is The Carnalarium, and I made it up all by myself. So here we go to The Carnalarium. Oh, awesome. It was the GoPro camera and GPS package I considered getting when I was restocking my travel supplies. And an extra battery? You shouldn't have, Kendra. I leaned forward, hooked a finger under her chin, then kissed her glossy, smiling lips. Kendra vibrated with pride at having earned such praise. But then there came that all-too-familiar push-peck sensation. It always started at the back of my neck, gently nudging at first, coaxing. If I put it off for too long, it became more insistent, impatient, a sharp pecking at my spine, a mother bird forcing her two big offspring to get the fuck out of her nest already. I pulled away too quickly, and Kendra's happiness faltered. And there it was, that look, accusatory hate, self-doubt, and the big one, hope, all sparkling in her beautiful light blue eyes. But this was par for the course. Although with Kendra, my leaving was a little different. I couldn't escape the other nagging sensation deep in my chest, a thudding, heavy achiness. I thought I might love her. Kendra looked up at me from her knees, tried to pretend that her sorrow wasn't sucking the air out of the room. She sat between my legs, me on the couch, her on the floor, reminding me of what an insensitive ass I could be sometimes. I already put your account together, so no excuses. You better tweet every day, Beth, just so that I know where you are, that you're not dead. She let her fingers slide up my bare thighs, wooing me with her delicate touch. Goosebumps erupted over my flesh, my nipples hardened, guilt temporarily shoved back by the sweet little jolt of arousal that swirled in my belly. Just for you, I purred against her pouty lips. I slipped my tongue inside her mouth, pulled her short frame closer, tried to be who I was before the restlessness had taken hold of me. But even as I said the words I knew she hoped to hear, I was lying. I pulled her baby pink camisole off, admired the way her long bronze locks zinged and zapped their staticky, messy protest. Then my eyes settled on her breasts, much fuller than my own and pierced with shiny silver barbells, a gift from me on our third date. They were truly magnificent. Kendra was a full-figured, adorable girl with a body anyone could get lost in. Ignoring emotion, I chose impulse and reached for those breasts, hardened the pale little nipples between my fingers and thumbs, twisting the silver barbell piercings, memorizing their silkiness for the lonely nights ahead. The GoPro travel kit was forgotten amidst the wrapping paper. I kissed Kendra, desperate for her to know that I wanted to say thank you for the time we'd shared and goodbye, because I was going to miss her. I read somewhere that a single kiss could accomplish such a task, but I couldn't seem to make it work. Kendra did her best to seduce me, keep me there, but I simply couldn't stay. Being tied down to anything, including lovers, brought the walls closing in on me, threatening to block out the sunlight I craved. Kendra and I had been lovers for the better part of a year, but the restlessness had my heels itching to break for freedom, and the next 2 weeks were going to be difficult. I'd never been able to lay down roots anywhere with anyone for any extended period of time. I'm what you might call a free spirit. I only rent month to month, own a throwaway cell phone, and never stay with a partner for longer than a few fun-filled months before I flit away to explore some other part of the world, literally. I guess I might be afraid that if I stay put for too long, I might miss something else, more fulfilling. To date, Kendra was my longest commitment. I took a certain amount of pride in that fact, but I couldn't ignore the wearying effect it was having on me. I'm just not monogamous with anything. Kendra, my sweet, darling Kendra, is truly a girl who would be lost without someone to take care of her. I know that sounds borderline misogynistic, but it's true. She needs to be cherished like the doll that she is. I can't leave her broken. Hurt is one thing, but broken? That guilt would eat at me for a long time. I'm the complete opposite. I need to get out, away, experience life, people, the world. I've done everything from skydiving in New Zealand and Dubai to swimming through the labyrinth of lava tubes around Hawaii. I've already backpacked across Europe a few times, helped build homes for humanity in Mexico, hiked the Incan Trail, even followed a camera crew to Namibia, and photographed two separate nomadic tribes in the jungles of Africa. Now it was time to traverse my own country, the good old USA, from the West Coast to the East Coast, on foot. With only 2 weeks left and still so much to do, my shopping list was getting longer and longer. At the top of that list, batteries. I simply couldn't forget batteries, or I'd be up shit creek without an orgasm. Screw the water purifying tablets. I needed my big O's more than water. I got you something else. Kendra breathed against the nape of my neck, bringing me out of my mental list of to-dos. The warmth caused me to be a little more than a little juicy between the legs. I didn't want any more presents. I wanted Kendra to make me come. You did? My voice was the best sultry sweet I could manage. Yep. Kendra was trying so hard to be strong for me. What is it? I asked. She pulled a nondescript red envelope from beneath the couch. I got us into the carnalarium. The what? The carnalarium. She rolled her eyes, a cute, bratty expression I'd developed a liking for. I resisted grabbing her hair and throwing her over the couch cushions for a thorough spanking that was sure to lead to an extended fucking. It's only the most popular sex dungeon in the city. I emailed the headmistress a couple of months ago. She finally responded. She said my application was interesting. She actually met me for coffee. We talked about a bunch of stuff. You had coffee together? I accused. I instantly regretted my tone. I was more surprised than anything. Kendra never went anywhere on her own. Nothing happened. I'm sorry, I'm just surprised is all, and kind of impressed. I was relieved to see the tension ease from her body. Really? She asked, eyes lighting back up, damage repaired. I remember the place, that old renovated abbey over on Rosary Hills, right? Yeah, you want to come with me? This time, that shy, blushing demeanor was too much to resist. Girl, I always want to come with you. I pulled her in, my kisses demanding. I slipped a hand between her legs and decided I'd let her come first. That's all I'm giving you.
Oh, my God. That's such a tease. But it's good. It's good because you've given us all the background. And now, obviously, we can go to that cool place.
The carnalarium. Yeah.
Okay. So our timing is, you know, tricky right now because Engineer Matt tells me we have 4 minutes left. So what I think we should do is take an early break and then stack the three of you up. So that's what I'm going to do. We're going to take an early break. We're going to come back. You're going to have Amy Butcher as promised, and then you're going to have Tara Betts and Lazuli Jones. And in our 2 minute break, we're just going to edit our stories a little. Or we're not going to do anything in the fourth segment. It's whatever. We're going to make it work, people, is what I'm saying. It's live. It's live radio. So come back soon. Nothing else to say.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are hearing stories from the best women's erotica of the year today on the show. And who you just heard was Rose Caraway. And so before you forget, because I know you have a short attention span, you can find out more about her at thekissmequicks.com and also follow her on Twitter at Rose Caraway. Next up is Amy Butcher, who is a writer, artist, and liminal guide who creates and facilitates transformative experiences for individuals and groups. She is a co-founder and serves as chief whimsy officer at the Erotic Collaborative Body Trust. As a writer, her recent work includes being author of the 2012 award-winning mystery novel, Pause for Consideration, co-editor of the anthology Sex Still Spoken Here, and contributor to numerous other anthologies. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Amy.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
We're going to jump right in. The floor is yours.
All right. I'm going to dive right into the middle of the story, which is called, the story is called Waiting to Pee. It's not a Dyke March day, just another foggy Thursday afternoon, so I get to go to the real bathroom. The line is short, a Betty Page femme already peeking in the door to see her reflection in the mirror, a hippie girl taking a break from her hula hooping, two suburban teens who are already drunker than they should be at this time of day, giggling with each other, and a trans man last in line. The trans man looks like he meant to pull into a truck stop, not this hipster haven. His U-Haul baseball cap is tipped back and to the side, his white tank is frayed under the arms, the edge of his chest binder visible above the curve of material stained yellow with sweat. Betty Page is in and out of a stall in a flash, and now spreading out her makeup before the graffiti-scratched mirrors. Hippie Girl is distracted. She flips her dreadlocked hair back and forth, rattling the beads on the ends of her uplifted palms as she counterswivels her hips. Her eyes are closed as she tries to find the syncopation in some music playing only in her imagination. Excuse me, the teenager ventures. Her friend giggles beside her. No response. I think there's an empty, she says, tapping Hippie Girl on the shoulder and pointing. Hippie Girl smiles and nods and then disappears into one of the three stalls, wrestling her glittery hoops in beside her. Our line moves up one position. A few minutes later, the rattle of hula hoops as Hippie Girl emerges from the far stall. She pauses by the sink for just a moment. Betty Page is still hard at work occupying the breadth of the space. Hippie Girl just shrugs and steps outside. Sunshine cleans everything, she says optimistically, lifting her face toward the foggy San Francisco sky. The near stall opens. Before anyone else can move, Betty Page scoops up her belongings and shoots into the stall again. One of the suburban girls has started to sway. We're almost there. Do not puke on me, whatever you do. Scolding and supporting, she guides her friend into the far stall, still dusted with glitter from Hippie Girl's hoops. Trucker and I wait in silence. No one has joined the line behind us. It's an odd gap in the collective need to pee. Perhaps I'm channeling it all. Perhaps all their urination impulses are funneling through my body because suddenly I really need to pee. I'm hopping from one foot to the other as if I'm a three-year-old. Betty reemerges and goes back to the mirrors. I have a strong sense of deja vu. I must look like I'm about to burst because Trucker gestures magnanimously. You first, he says with a slight bow. Never one to look a gift horse or a gift trucker in the mouth, I nod my gratitude and move toward the stall. My tiny rapid steps are a feeble attempt to walk while still keeping my thighs pressed tight together. I can tell this is going to be close. I'm unbuckling my belt with one hand as I pull the stall door open with the other. It must be Noah's Ark Day today, I hear Betty say with amusement. Then she sings, the animals went in two by two, two by two. With my internal waters rising, my brain can't quite process her words. I drop trow, bend forward, swing butt over seat, and reach out to close the stall door, all with one deft complex of choreography. Only when my outstretched hands hit soft belly do I finally understand. Trucker has slipped into the stall right behind me. He closes the door and leans back against it, folding his arms against his flattened chest. I grab for the waistband of my pants and try and stand. My pants are already at mid-thigh, all ready to provide sanitary cushion between my body and the less-than-pristine toilet seat. Even as I clench the muscles of my pelvic floor, I know that my bladder is way ahead of the rest of me, already breathing its own sigh of release. We have passed the peeing point of no return. Might as well just let go, he coaches. I hover above the toilet for just a moment longer before finally giving in. Ah, I sigh as I feel my bladder ache and collapse, muscles bearing down to force a hard stream of warm liquid. It seems to go on forever, an entire park's worth of pee. Over my splashing sound, I hear the suburban girls two doors down. Don't fight it, the slightly more sober one says. You'll feel better after. But I don't want to, the other laments. It's so gross. I can hear her swallowing hard, fighting a losing battle, but not yet willing to concede. I promise I'll hold your hair back. A deep sigh and burp in response. I sigh too, my channeled flow having finally come to an end. I'm a binary peer, on or off 100% committed until the last drop. Having reached full stop, I twist to the right, tease the underside of the dispenser, searching for toilet paper. Nothing. I peer through the translucent plastic, seeing only an empty cardboard core. Damn, I mutter. Guess you'll just have to drip dry, trucker shrugs. It's one thing to succumb to the uncontrollable need to pee while being watched. It's an entirely different matter to simply sit with an audience and wait to dry. Slide back, he says, reaching for his heavy caterpillar belt buckle. I need to pee, too. I'm confused. I start to stand up, but he makes eye contact, raising one eyebrow in a dare. The energy of his body's forward movement pushes me back down. Slide your pants to your ankles. Move back. And spread your knees. He unzips his fly. The heavy belt pulls the corners of his pants down and out of the way. He reaches into his plaid boxers to expose one of those stand-up pee packers I've heard so much about. Realistic and functional. Who knew? Don't worry. I'm very accurate with this, he encourages. I sure hope so, I mumble. Trucker steps closer and aims. I can see the hem of his white tank draping lazily over his guide hand. I hold my breath and then watch in amazement as a narrow stream of yellow arches downward between my legs. Wow, I explain nervously. I can feel the heat pass close like a molten lava waterfall, but my naked thighs stay dry. You are really precise, I concede, closing my eyes and trying to stay perfectly still. I hear a moan from the far stall. It still isn't clear if the suburban team will win or lose her regurgitation fight. By the sound of it, Betty is still primping at the mirrors. Her singing is more animated now. Paulina Rubio's, "Boys will be boys, they like to play around." There's something in the chestnut roughness of her voice that strikes like a match against the center strip of my belly, igniting a new awareness in my crotch. I open my eyes. Trucker is still peeing a steady stream. I follow the coursing liquid upstream, past the dirty nails tensioning his precision instrument, past the thick belly pressing out into the stained shirt, all the way up to Trucker's tucked chin. Without moving his head, he lifts his eyes to mine and cracks a crooked smile. Impressive, eh? Let me show you just how precise I can really be. And I think I'll leave you there.
Mm. Okay, talk about creative locations.
Yeah,
the porta potty. Everyone, you can follow Amy on Twitter at AmySF. And next up is Tara Letts. Tara Betts, sorry. Did I say Letts? Oh,
God, yes, you did.
Sorry. Tara Betts is the author of Break the Habit and Arc and Hue. Her chapbooks include 7x7, Kwanzaa Boss, and The Greatest, an homage to Muhammad Ali. Her writing has appeared in Poetry, Essence, Nylon, Obsidian, Callaloo, and several anthologies, including Best Black Women's Erotica 2. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Tara.
Thanks for having me, Tristan.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm just going to read a portion of it, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, great.
All right. The story is called A New Canvas. The bass and slow pace of hip-hop sounded like a drone after a couple of hours. Everything sounded as if it had the same pace then. When the dark room was even more obscured by smoke from blunts and a twinge of incense, Angela spotted Troy. She hadn't been smoking and neither had he. For both of them, it was about being in the same space with the artists and loving the music. They would meet for dinner sometimes, talk politics, books, music, and all that. But there was never a flirtation. Usually, Angela had a boyfriend or Troy had a girlfriend, and Angela simply kept quiet about how she felt about Troy, listening intently to her every answer. Her glimpses of one of his tattoos, the lingering conversations where it took forever for Angela to get out of the car, their long goodbye hugs, and even how his posture made him look strong, confident, and sexy. Sexy. She could not even say the word out loud. She had not dated anyone seriously in almost 3 years. She wanted him, but Angela was afraid to lose the amazing conversations. So she kept it at just friends. She tried not to think about how the steady thump of the bass reminded her of the pulse in her clit, and she quieted herself. She avoided looking at his lower lip that she wanted to suck gently, or at least the piercings on his ear. Her tongue could almost taste each of the metal studs. Snap out of it. That lingering was gone in a blink, and he was doing a frenetic bounce, making fun of someone's dance he saw the other night. He could break her into giggling too fast. But it seemed that he liked making her laugh, so she went with it. It was already late when they saw each other at the spot, and the ongoing thump was starting to sound gloomy and indistinct. So she said she was leaving. "I can give you a ride back to the crib," he said. It didn't seem like anything he'd never offered before. She said yes. Her discomfort lingered the most when they could never just say goodbye in his car. They always ended up talking in the car and staring at her door as if she wanted to stay in the car or he wanted to follow her. And finally, after sitting in the car for the longest pause, she piped up and said what she had always wanted to say. "It's not too late if you want to come in. I was going to make some tea and maybe watch a movie." Even this felt too forward to her, but his hands relaxed on the steering wheel. "Sure, let me grab my bag. There's something I've been working on," Troy said. He leaned over the back seat and pulled out a half-zip backpack. Angela thought it was a laptop until she spied the hardcover journal, Sharpies, markers, pens, and colored pencils. She hadn't seen those in years, but she knew what they were right away. She was so excited she could almost smell Krylon. Troy, who hadn't done graffiti in years, still sketched in a piece book, and usually it was the small-scale version of what ended up on brick walls or commissioned murals, but this was his private haven of characters, panels, miniature versions of letters rendered in bubbled curves and wild style angles. "I'd love to see what you're drawing. I didn't know you still got down like that," Angela said. She was surprised and intrigued that she saw this creative side in him. She figured he was always about his work, but this was new. She wished she could draw him nude, then snapped back to attention before she started feeling too overheated and wet from the thought of him touching her. "I thought it would be cool to share something with you," he said. "I'd like that," Angela said, and she hopped out of the passenger side and waved him toward the vestibule. "What have you been working on?" she asked. "A lot of random sketches, but there has been this series on my mind, and it makes me wish I could paint it on trains and go all city. You know, no one does that anymore. But the idea of doing a throwback like that is nice. Too bad they shrink wrap the trains in those ugly advertisements instead," Angela said. "Right? Those kinds of pieces are something you see in old movies. But the series just struck me as that kind of classic," Troy said. "Now I'm curious. I have ginger peach, green tea, honey chamomile. What kind do you want?" Angela asked. She was putting a full kettle on the stove. She liked to hear the building rumble and the eventual prelude to the whistle. She turned around to reach for the closed box of tea and realized he was standing in the doorway quietly watching her. "Ginger peach," Troy said. "Show me the peace book already," Angela said, her tone partial command but more gentle curiosity. "You sure you want to see it?" he asked. "Yes," Angela said. And for the first time ever, he hesitated, and then she started to wonder. Some of the landscapes were city scenes, brick walls with kids leaning against them, trains snaking above the dark streets dotted with a few lights, letters spelling out the names of crews. Then there was one sketch with butterflies and intricate letters that stopped her from reaching for a second cup of honey chamomile. It spelled out her name. in orange and yellow with twinges of red. It reminded her of the sun at dusk. "Troy, this is beautiful." And Angela was cut off before she could say anything else. He cupped his hand into the small of her back and pulled her close. She was stunned that this was actually happening, but leaned in a little bit. He nipped at her bottom lip, and when the first kiss came, her tongue pressed past his lips and twisted toward his tongue. She was trying to slow down, but he was holding her. She had dropped the peace book on the table and grabbed his head by then. The only thing that broke her focus was the hard whistle of the kettle. She stumbled a few steps away, but that he would not let go of her hand. He looked so serious.
Are you going to leave us there?
No, something happened to the computer. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Leave us there. Will you leave us there? Okay, good. Wow. Okay, Tara, everyone can find Tara at tarabetz.net and on Twitter at tarabetz. Tara, do you know Rose Caraway? Like, besides that you're in the same book, but do you know each other?
I had never met Rose. I finally heard her voice when I listened to the book online.
Yeah. I think that you should read more. That's all I'm going to say is you have an incredible voice and I would listen to you read anything. So maybe you two should connect after the show. Okay, we've got to take another break, but coming up, Lizzuli Jones is going to bring it home for us. Stay with us.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Are you having a good time tonight? Because I am. Our next reader from Best Women's Erotica of the Year is Lizzuli Jones, whose particular brand of erotica has previously appeared in Torquay Press's They Do and Mythologically Torqued anthologies. Her first novel, Abyssal Zone, is available from Ecstasy Books. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Lizzuli.
Thank you very much.
I know that we've like pushed all this back and we thought we'd get to you in segment three, but you've got all of segment four. So let's go.
All right. So here is Starstruck, a.k.a. the Comic-Con Erotica. Oh God, he's as gorgeous as he ever was. The banner hanging above the table was displaying a half-body shot of Tecton, the ebony-skinned superhero who made frequent visits to my young adult fantasies. In the shot, Tecton wore his muscle-hugging gold costume, the spandex riddled with rocky patterns. His hair was styled into small dreads. From the center of a thin gold mask, Tecton's sharp black eyes stared down. His gaze was stern but gentle, sharp but soothing. The shot was from 1993. I recognized it because I'd had the same picture cut from a magazine and taped to my bedroom mirror. I'd stare at it until I got hot and weak in the knees and carefully took the picture down to bring to bed with me. How else was a nerdy black girl going to get her sexy kicks in the 90s? Tecton was all muscle and deep, rumbling voice, but God, the whole premise of his character was that he was a gentle giant. By day, he was Tyrell Jackson, a construction worker with a secret identity. By night, he was part of the titular Elemental Heroes, a six-person superhero team. And in real life, he was Desmond Kyle, the well-built and deep-voiced hunk who hadn't acted much since the 90s. Being typecast was a stroke of bad luck. Beneath the banner, 20 years older but still radiating sex, Desmond Kyle sat in a muted scarlet dress shirt and smiled and shook hands and signed autographs. The dreads of his youth had been replaced with a shortcut, streaked with silver. I stood four people away, holding a glossy 8x10 of Desmond and trying to look chill, though my heart was pounding like Tyrell Jackson's jackhammer. I was surprised to see how short the line was. I was the only woman in line. I was the only black person in line. I was the only person above age 40 in line. But this was the first time in years Desmond Kyle was making a Comic-Con appearance, and I was going to meet him. I was going to talk to him, shake his hand, and get him to remember me. The line moved, and the guy in front of me, a tall, skinny 20-something, handed the smiling Desmond a magazine and asked for a dedication. I watched Desmond's large hand and supple fingers glide his signature across the magazine cover. I dreamt about those hands. I used to imagine Tecton crushing my ass in those huge hands, lifting me up and pressing me against a wall. He'd kiss me and it would taste like salt and earth. I'd imagine those huge hands cupping my pussy, ripping my panties off, finger-fucking me deep inside while I screamed his name. I would come so hard I'd rip the spandex from his shoulders. "You're a goddess," he'd tell me while I tore the rest of his costume off, stroking his bobbing cock and holding onto his shoulders while I impaled myself. And then he would lift me up using his strong hands, bend me over the bed, and plunge his big, rock-solid cock inside me until I came another half dozen times. I was 19 and still a virgin, with a tenuous grasp of how sex actually worked, but it was still a hell of a fantasy. Back in the real world, I was standing a few feet away from Desmond when he looked me straight in the eye and beckoned me to come to him. The moment he smiled, I forgot my carefully rehearsed spiel and stumbled forward, holding out the glossy photo like a giddy preteen. "Well, hello," Desmond said. His voice was like velvet smoke. "What's your name?" "I used to masturbate to pictures of you." "Angela," I blurted. I'd practiced looking poised and sexy, but now I felt like a babbling fool. "I love you. In the show, I mean, I love Tecton." "Thank you, Angela. It's great to meet a real fan from back in the day. What was your favorite episode?"
"I spent my early adulthood thinking about your cock." "Oh, you know," I said dumbly. The frantic hammering in my chest turned into a pulsing want deep between my legs. "I loved everything you did, just everything."
His fingers wrapped around the Sharpie and he signed the photo I'd handed him. I imagined what those hands would feel like wrapped around my arms and my legs.
"It was very nice meeting you, Angela," Desmond said.
He handed me back the signed photo. I'd planned all along to shake his hand, but I only smiled when our fingertips brushed.
"You gave me the best imaginary orgasms of my life."
I walked away from the table, and just like that, the liquid heat pulsing in my veins and between my legs grew cold. I hugged the photo to my chest, shivering as I squeezed my breasts together, feeling like a fool now in my sad little black dress and my sad little Elemental Heroes necklace. I'd spend an awful long time picking out an outfit for my drooling moron act in front of Desmond. Suddenly, I wasn't a grown-ass, sexy, confident woman anymore. I was the dorky little thing I was back in the 90s with my stupid box braids I never knew how to style, not like the other stylish girls, and my clothes that always fit weird on my awkward teenage body. I needed a fucking drink. And that's it for now.
Okay, wait, no, but I have to know. So, like, will you just tell us if they get together?
Oh, obviously they do.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, because I don't know that I could sleep tonight without knowing that. Okay, everyone, you can follow Lizzuli Jones on Twitter at Lizzuli Jones. Hey, thanks to all of you for being here. for speeding up or slowing down, as the case may be, in reading your pieces. I feel like this gave us a really good look at this anthology, which obviously has a lot of different stuff and can please a lot of different people. So thank you all. I think they've all muted themselves. Okay. I'll just take this. Thank you.
Thank you, Tristan.
That was funny. I also want to tell you that Rachel Kramer Bussell is the editor of Best Women's Erotica of the Year, which you heard tonight. You can find out more about her at rachelkramerbussell.com, as well as Erotic Writing 101 for all you budding writers. And you can follow her on Twitter at Raquelita. So you can find Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 1, edited by Rachel and featuring amazing stories, including the ones you heard tonight, wherever books are sold. And as she said, Volume 2 will be out in December, and she's currently looking for submissions to Volume 3. So find out more about the entire series and get the call for submissions at bweoftheyear.com. I want to thank everyone who makes the show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be back with some live shows and some really great guests. Until then, get us on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And if you're in the Los Angeles area next Wednesday, August 24th, make sure you come to see me at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, where I'm going to teach Anal Sex for Everyone, my most popular workshop, in celebration of Anal August. But if you can't get there, you can always go to thepleasurechest.com, and they have been an incredible sponsor and supporter of my work. So please do go and spend some money at Pleasure Chest. And while you're there, talk to some people, and remember, those talks should be about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.